Yes.
The following takes place between 7 and 8.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
The executive director.
Michelle Meyer. I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
In a good mood tonight.
If they don't settle down, they're walking home.
Oh, wow.
I was reading one of your emails, and I think I've been misrepresenting you, however you put that. You know, I put down on each of the show descriptions, I put it's hosted each Thursday by winemaker, vineyardist, tasting expert, and cellar master. And then I get this the email part. You're a vice president, general manager, VP general manager.
VP general manager.
I need to put that in there because that's like, we're talking here.
What happened, though, was when I took over a position of doing everything and all that, and one of the guys that was there left and moved on to something else, they said, great, Ron, you've got the job, everything is yours and all that other stuff. And I go, oh, wonderful. And they go, we're going to give you a title. I go, oh, so they made me a vice president, general manager. No money,
wow.
No raise, no, just I got a title. So,
well, welcome to Florida.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
This is the right to work state.
Yeah. So in lieu of any type of raise, I got a nice title. So
yeah,
it sounds good, vice president, general manager.
Oh, absolutely.
And it also makes me an officer, so I can legally go to jail for the company.
Watch what you say on the program.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, gosh. Okay, excellent. So I hear myself echoing in the background.
Are you? No, you sound good. You sound
good
to me over the line. I guess the listeners aren't having any problems.
Are you on speakers or?
No, I've got a speaker that's not too far from me. It's up a little bit louder than it normally is, so that might be what you're hearing.
I might be hearing my bleed over. Okay, that's
turn
fine.
It down. Is that better?
I know you probably have an audience there, so that's fine.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I'm just going to say, all of you people, Mike and I were just looking at some of our stats, and we want to thank all of you who are listening to us and tuning in the archives and all that other stuff.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
definitely. There's quite a bit of them. That was quick. Quite a bit of them on the archive listening, and I can't tell if it's iTunes or just off of Blog Talk Radio, but we are. I know in the past 6 months it's been averaging about 8,000, 9,000 people on the archive side, which is very, very good.
Very good.
So,
yeah.
Thank you to all of y'all for downloading the program, listening to it. You know, however you're listening to it, just thank you. And if you'd like to get on the program tonight, we are continuing with New Hampshire, part two. We're going to have a special guest coming on in just a few minutes. And give us a call and talk to our special guest tonight, which will be Bob from Candia, New Hampshire.
Right, Candia Vineyards in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and Candia Vineyards, and I believe I saw on their website earlier, was Candia, New Hampshire, the little city name. So I have some information on that. But I connected with him on Facebook and posted a big message there. So if you're coming to us from his Facebook wall, welcome to the program. This is All About Wine every Thursday at 7 p.m. We'd love to hear from you. We'll have Bob on in a few minutes. But give us a call at 646-727-3235. You can dial that direct on your phone and get on our switchboard, and we'll take your calls, and you can talk to Bob directly in just a few minutes, or talk to Ron, of course, and just make sure it's all about wine at some point.
And if while we're on this subject too, If you have any questions or any topics you want to cover about wine, let us know. We, you know, we're open. We're going through the states. We went through countries. We've done all sorts of stuff, but we're open to any suggestions that anyone might have, too. I've been thinking we might throw in, I might try to get a hold of, like, cork manufacturers and talk to people from there, or label people, or barrel people, and just, you know, let them tell us some of the stuff about that, too. That might be interesting to everyone. So, if you have any suggestions, let us know.
Don't make it, unfortunately, don't make it the, what was that organization I tried to get that's pushing for the CARE Act? The is it the Wholesalers and Distributors?
I
tried to get in touch with them a few weeks back, sending a, you know, a couple of messages off their website, because they have, you know, contact us and we'd love to hear from you. Well, apparently they didn't like to hear from me because they never responded to it. But I was, you know, it's like, we do a wine show, but we'd like to get your side of the story, and they never, you know, never responded to that. So, you know, okay, that's fine. You want to push for the CARE Act? Was 1161?
Correct.
Okay, you know, they're pushing for it, but they don't want to talk about it, I guess. So I don't know. They don't want to talk to us on the air, I guess, about the situation. But you know, I'd like to hear that side as well. And
it would be interesting to get them on. And,
unfortunately, there was never a response, so move on. Yeah, we move on without it. So, I guess I can go off into the green room. Is it still green? Yeah, it's still green.
It's still green.
We'll go off
in the green room,
the
get
plant.
Bob, and
we'll
I'll talk. A little bit about New Hampshire here.
All right. I'll be right back.
All right. And so we are going to go back to New Hampshire. We were there last week talking about wines out of New Hampshire. And we talked to – actually, we had two guests last week from New Hampshire wineries. One that was a startup company that he's looking at starting and opening the winery next month, that close, Chuck Lawrence from Hermit Woods Winery. Had a very nice conversation with him. Actually, we ran quite long. If you were listening to us live, you had to go over to archives and tune us in. And then we also talked to Frank Reinhold from Flag Hill Winery last week, and very interesting conversation with him. And he told us quite a bit of stuff there. So some good conversations from these winemakers and wineries up in New Hampshire. We're looking for another very interesting conversation today from Bob Dabrowski is his name, and Bob will be joining us very, very shortly here. New Hampshire, again, to put you where New Hampshire is located in the northeast part of the United States. It is bordered on by Canada, Vermont, Massachusetts, and Maine, with a little piece of it out in the water. So it is a small state, that part of the country, and quite a few wineries, actually. We found out last week that there's 27 wineries and 8 growers up in that part of the state. We have Bob in the green room.
Yes, we do. And he's out of the green room, and we're ready to put him on the air. You ready to go?
Hello, Bob. We finally got you on the air.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I say that because last week Bob was going to join us, and he had an event he had to take care of. And then we got wires crossed. He was thinking the program was earlier in the week, and we talked for a while then. And we finally get him on the air, and we got him live. Candia Vineyard and Winery, tell us about it.
Well, Candia Vineyards is a small boutique winery, and I'm in southern New Hampshire, and the town of Candia is right next to Manchester. For the history buffs out there, Candia is named after a Greek island, commonly known as Crete. Back in the 1800s, Candia was called Charming Fair, and for some reason, one of our former governors was on the island of Crete. He was imprisoned. I guess he did something naughty, and when he came back, he renamed the town Candia. So I use the name Candia Vineyards, and we like to keep things kind of local and, you know, homey, so to speak. As far as the vineyard, I'll tell you a little bit about it. I grow a dozen French hybrids, such as Leon Malot and Maréchal Foch, and I also grow some Minnesota varieties, such as La Crescent and La Crosse. And I also grow some of the Cornell varieties, such as Nare.
Uh-huh. And Chardonnay, or is that shipped in?
Chardonnay we can't grow. We usually get down to about 15 below Fahrenheit. That will take out pretty much any vinifera vine. So any vinifera, meaning European vines, Chardonnay, Merlot, et cetera, those will not survive.
Right. And also take out quite a few people. That's why I live in Florida. You talked about the grapes. Let's stay with the grapes for a little bit. I'm on your website. If anybody wants to join us on the website, it's candiavineyards.com. But I'm on your website, and you talk about different ones here. Could you the Frontenac? I've talked about to the listeners before. Frontenac Gris, is that the white hybrid of the Frontenac, or what?
It's sort of a pink, or some people refer to it as a gray, because it has a kind of a muted color to it. The Frontenac vine is unusual. It seems to be, in the field, it seems to mutate on its own. And Frontenac Gris was actually found in a vineyard. One of the vineyard workers was walking through, and he noticed one cluster that had a different color. So something had happened, and it's often called a sport. It'll sport a different variety. So there's actually now a Frontenac White.
Oh.
And the vines are characteristically the same in the vineyard. They behave the same viticulturally. However, they have completely different colors and tastes.
Are they all cold weather hardy and all that also?
Yeah, it appears that all of the Frontenac characteristics have carried forward on the other sports, the white and the gris. So they're all hardy down to probably 30 below Fahrenheit.
Wow, that's just amazing that they have evolved into that. The diamond I notice here. What is a diamond, and what is the background of that?
Diamond was developed by a fellow in upstate New York in the 1880s. He crossed Concord and Iona. Everyone's heard of Concord. What a lot of people don't realize is back in the 1800s, Concord was quite a trendsetter. That was really the first commercially successful grape in the Northeast. It was disease-resistant and very productive as well. So he crossed Iona and Concord. And interestingly, through the luck of genetics, if you will, the diamond grape ended up with none of the red characteristics of Concord.
Oh.
It came out pure white. And that does happen sometimes. Sometimes you cross a white and a red, you don't get something in the middle. You get something that's completely to one side or the other.
Yeah.
So the diamond grape has very good aromatics. It has a fairly intense grapey aroma, but it's a little more refined, and it's considered really a cut above Concord.
It is the Labrusca family then.
At least half, right?
Yeah. Okay. The Noret, that's University of Cornell grape.
Correct, yes. I was the first grower of that in New Hampshire.
Oh.
That's a fairly recent vine in grape terms. It was developed in 1973. And that was a cross between Steuben and an unnamed grape. Just one of the numbered series that they had. And what's unusual about that grape, it has a very intense peppery and spicy overtones to it. More intense than probably any wine I've ever had.
Something like a Carmenere, if you're familiar with that.
More than that, I would say.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, very very intensely spicy, peppery. Some people are a little put off by it, and others search it out and crave for it. So it's one of those wines, you know. It's a love-hate thing.
Yeah, it's like the Carmenere out of Chile. The Carmenere's got that spiciness to it, too, and some people, again, love it, and others just find it a little bit off. If this is even more, my uh, My wife sitting in the background is already saying, we need to get some. So,
well, if Carmenere was a 6, then Nare would be a 9, I would say.
Wow.
In the spicy peppery, if you could rate it that way.
Wow, that's interesting. And I noticed you're not growing the University of or the Cornell. You don't have a whole lot of those. You're using a lot of the New Hampshire, or not New Hampshire, I'm sorry, the Minnesota hybrids.
Right. There was kind of a gap in time, so to speak. A lot of the Cornell varieties were developed many years ago. And they are good grapes. However, there's been so much advancements in breeding in the last 10 or 20, 30 years that we made a decision to go with some of the more modern grapes.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we chose, for instance, that's how we chose Nare instead of, Cuyahoga or something like that.
Oh, well, that's good. I say that's good not because I have anything against Cornell and all that. Cornell is still developing new hybrids all the time, it seems, but University of Minnesota is just doing it by leaps and bounds for some reason. It's fascinating what they're doing up there. The Chardonnay, Riesling, and Cabernets, those are from where?
I use either California or New York grapes for those.
Mm.
Kind of just depends on the year and what my favorite growers got available that year.
You say you're located in the southern part of New Hampshire. Tell us about your climate around your vineyards and your highs, your lows, your bud break, the season weather-wise.
Sure. It's kind of a joke around here, if New Hampshire was a country, it would probably be called Vietnam or something, because we have in some years over 3 feet of rain a year.
Gee.
So it's we're a fairly wet state as far as that goes. And one of the challenges with grape growing around here is the temperature fluctuation. So where bud break is usually around, depending on where you are in the state, but for me it's around May 5th. However, we can get a late frost in the spring can be May 15th.
Uh-huh.
So we are at risk. And there's not a lot we can do about it here in New Hampshire because in some parts of the country they have kind of a stratified air situation where they could use large fans or fly helicopters to move the air around. Here in New Hampshire, that generally doesn't work because we have cold fronts that come out of Canada that dive down. Uh-huh. And there's no warm air to move. It's all cold for 10,000 feet up.
Wow.
So we are fairly susceptible to the late frost, middle of May usually.
Wow. The highs in your area get to what then in the summer?
Well, we're just going through a heat wave right now. Some of the towns are setting records, so yesterday and today we hit 95.
Whoa.
That's very unusual. That doesn't normally happen. So for most of the summer, we'll hit the mid-80s.
Mm.
One slight disadvantage we have in New Hampshire is it tends to get fairly cold at night. And that is a difference compared to other parts of the country. It does delay ripening somewhat.
So even now with the highs of 95, you're getting what temperatures at night?
Well, last few nights it's going to be very warm. It'll only get down into the 70s, but it's not unusual during the summer to get into the 50s at night.
Oh,
and
wow.
Your listeners might not be aware, but grapes are a large portion of grapes are water. I mean, of course, there's seeds and there's sugars in there and solids, but a lot of a grape is water, and it takes an enormous amount of energy to warm a grape up after it's cooled all night in a vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is we have to manage that. So I use predominantly vertical shoot positioning and trying to get as much sunlight to the grapes as we can throughout the summer, through the growing season, to warm up the grapes as quick as we can and kind of further that ripening.
The winter lows, what do you usually hit and how long does it usually stay there?
Southern New Hampshire... I've been keeping pretty good records for 10 years. Negative 15 Fahrenheit is fairly normal.
I'm sorry. We're both living in Florida.
Yeah.
That's why we're giggling.
Well, we wouldn't have it any other way. The good news, however, is that we used to get down to minus 25 back in the 70s.
Wow.
And that doesn't happen anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
So in certain varieties, particularly the Cornell varieties, there will be some pretty severe damage if you get much below minus 12, minus 15. That's where you
start. The Cornell will?
Yeah.
That surprises me. I thought they were much more cold hardy than that.
Not compared to the Minnesota varieties or even the French hybrid, such as Leon Malot, for instance. We have found that one's good to probably minus 20, minus 22.
Wow. Well, I am surprised about that. I really expected the Cornell varieties to be able to withstand colder temperatures than what you just said. I don't know. It strikes me as strange simply because the Cornell varieties are used so much in New York
That's why. You see, they're breeding for New York where it doesn't get as cold near the Finger Lakes.
Oh, the water effect and all that. How far are you from the ocean there then?
I'm too far to matter. I'm about 35 miles.
Oh,
I don't get any ocean effect.
No ocean effects at all. Another thing, too, I think I might have asked someone last week, I'm not sure, but is there an AVA in New Hampshire?
No.
Not at all.
There's been some discussion over the years, but nobody's gone forward with that. Another thing for your listeners, if you look at the map, New Hampshire is a tiny state.
Right.
So in some parts of the country, an AVA might be the size of our entire state anyway.
Right. All of New England, yeah.
So it would be... there might be some difficulty determining what an AVA would be because an AVA, for instance, if you try to do Seacoast, New Hampshire, there was some discussion on that. That whole AVA would only be 20 by 20 miles.
Wow.
So it would be so defined that it might be difficult to manage or it might not even be allowed by the feds. I'm not sure.
There's so many... There's so many variables I'm finding around the country on AVAs. I mean, like, you know, you've got your upper Mississippi AVA, which is almost as large as all of New England. You've got ones that are, you know, consist of maybe 2 or 3 square miles, and that's it. And seems like what I've heard and what I've read and what I've been talking to New Hampshire growers and your wineries that you guys are rather unique in a niche there that it surprises me you don't have an AVA.
Well, we have discussed it, and it would work. For instance, Connecticut has a lot of vinifer grapes. So AVAs are often, you know, delineated by the federal government as, you know, kind of growing conditions and in the local custom of what grapes. So Connecticut grows a lot of vinifera, so you could see a couple of AVAs there possibly. Massachusetts is between us, and they're kind of a mix of hybrids and vinifera. And then you have New Hampshire, which has virtually no vinifera. So, you know, I think it's going to happen eventually because we are a unique growing area, and certainly it would be justified.
Your vineyard, how many acres do you have? What do you have planted? And you said that you trellis, and also do you pick by hand or by machine and all that? Fill us in on your vineyard operation, if you will.
Sure. Actually, there is no mechanical picking in New Hampshire at all.
None?
None. No. All of the vineyards are of a size and just kind of our cultural thing. We want the community to be involved. So no matter how big your vineyard is in New Hampshire, it would never be big enough to mechanically harvest because we'd always want the community involved anyway. So my vineyard is 600 vines, so it's a little less than an acre. what else can I tell you about it? Everything's hand-picked, of course, and I use vertical shoe positioning, and that's a method where the rows are oriented north to south, and we try to train the all of the canes so that they run vertically as possible up over the top wire, which is about 6 feet tall, and then we let them droop over a little bit, and then we hedge them during the summer. So we do that so that we grow the fruit on the bottom wire, which is about waist high, trying to get that sunlight in there. And we do that for two reasons. Number one, we try to ripen the fruit reasonably quickly, but also the sunlight and that air movement when you're managing the canopy, that helps keep the disease out. So it's a very, the trellising is a very important part of the vineyard.
Speaking of disease, what do you usually face up there in your grapes?
Downy mildew and powdery mildew seem to be the two. In my particular vineyard, I don't have any trees near me. I'm in a big field and little to no shade, and I have great air movement. So I'm about 660 feet above sea level. So I've been very fortunate. I really don't have a problem.
Good, good. You say you have about 600 plants. What do you have in the ground? What plants are you growing yourself?
Well, you want me to go down the list?
Sure, please.
Yeah. Foch. I'll break it up for you. For French hybrids, I have the old ones, the commonly known as the Cullman varieties, I guess, the Leon Malot and Marichal Foch. Leon Malot, I'm a big fan of it. I think that's a great vine. And it also ripens early, which is a huge advantage in our part of the country. I grow some of the Cornell universities, Nare. I've tried Traminette, although that was not cold hardy enough at all. And some of the old varieties like Tioga. And then the rest of them are predominantly, and of course, Diamond. The rest of them are the Minnesota varieties, so La Crosse, La Crescent, Marquette, Frontenac Gris.
Wow, you have quite a variety in that vineyard. Are they all ripening about the same time, or are you just going nuts trying to get them picked or rotating and all that?
Well, we were originally, years ago, I was fearful of that, but what we have found is that the Minnesota varieties, a lot of them have a fairly high riparian genetics in it, and what that means is they're very cold hardy. They can withstand 30 below, but there's a dark side to that. It also means those vines ripen very late. They need enormous heat to ripen the fruit. So I think that's kind of the funny thing about Minnesota. It's very cold in the winter, but it's also fairly warm in the summer. So we have to be careful with those varieties to really let them hang as long as we can to fully ripen. So for us, it's ended up being our harvest for the French hybrids will start around September 20th, and then we'll finish with the Minnesota varieties probably around October 10th.
Wow. So it's a lot of intense picking for a period of time there then.
Yeah, but it's better than having all French hybrids where that all came due in, 4 days. So we're able to schedule things out for 2 to 3 weeks, which works out really good.
Your government, the New Hampshire government, good, bad, indifferent, you wish they would go away, you wish they could help you more. What's your thoughts, feelings, and opinions of the New Hampshire government toward vineyards?
New Hampshire does not have much of an agricultural program, per se. We're different than a lot of other states. We don't fund much of anything, frankly. So we don't have, we have a cooperative extension service, for instance, but we don't have a big staff of grape specialists like some of the other states do. And we don't have any research money or any development money. So, for instance, everyone knows about Cornell, But a lot of people don't realize how deep Cornell is. You know, that's actually a repository for germoplasm. They store thousands and thousands of different grapes there, so the genetics.
Oh.
So there's a lot going on in some of the other states that's not happening in New Hampshire. And that's partly because of the Yankee frugality, and it's partly because we have such low taxes in New Hampshire. We don't have any money to fund anything like that.
So what about shipping and stuff? What's the laws and rules concerning that?
Shipping to New Hampshire, we're ranked, last time I saw, we're ranked one of the top five easiest states to ship wine into.
Really?
Yes.
Because the only state that I've ever had problems shipping into has been New Hampshire.
Well.
But this
I was just going to say, that
6 years ago.
We also have some of the strictest rules, though, so if you violate, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, this is 6 years ago. Yeah.
So, you know, as far as getting wines into New Hampshire, last I heard, they're doing about 8,000 bottles a month coming in from wineries around the country.
Wow.
And the fees are reasonably low. So the hurdles to get wine into New Hampshire are much lower than many of the other states.
But, and the way things are going, they're changing all the time anyway. So, you know, by next week or next month, that could be different still.
The other states are, because the other states were more restrictive. But New Hampshire is the shipping laws are going to be stable for the next 10 years because there's been no challenges that we know of, no legal challenges. So since all the wineries can ship to New Hampshire anyway, there's nothing for anybody to really complain about.
You do have state stores there, though, don't you?
New Hampshire's a little unusual that way. We have liquor stores, very large liquor stores, that are owned by the state. So hard liquors can only be sold by the state. Wines and beers can be sold at grocery stores, package stores, privately. So New Hampshire's a little different that way.
Oh, that's interesting. I understood that everything, all alcohol, had to go through the state stores. I didn't realize it was just spirits.
Just spirits. Only they only control spirits. They do sell wine also in their the state stores, and they do quite a volume. But they only have absolute control of the spirits.
I see. Candia Vineyards and Winery. How long you guys been in operation, and who is the winemaker? Are you, and who is? Give me the structure of it too. I'm just curious about who's running this place.
Well, that's me, Bob Dabrowski. I'm pretty much head bottle washer, winemaker, marketer, and interviewer, so to speak. So I'm a one man show, and I'm often regarded as the largest one-man show in New England. I do have some groupies, and I have some helpers and family, but they're occasional. And pretty much it's just me.
I see. Is this your picture we see popping up on your Our Wines? Is that you?
The handsome guy in front of the vines, that would be me, yeah.
Is it? Okay. Oh, we have you at a disadvantage now. We see what you look like.
Yeah.
I was going to ask something else, and you threw me off by saying the handsome guy in front of the vines there.
I had. Did we talk about the soil down there?
No. Good question.
Okay. Yeah, I think I missed that. What do you have as far as soil down in your area?
Soil ranges from sandy to fairly loamy in New Hampshire. My particular property is an old farm. It was one of the three oldest farms in Candia. It's been farmed off and on since the 1760s. So my particular site has very high organic content, relatively high nitrogen content. And, it's not a lot of sand. So I haven't watered my vines in, 9 years.
Wow.
There was one point, I think about 3 years ago, we got into a drought. We ended up with 40 days straight of no rain and some pretty intense heat. And I wish that I had watered them that time. But I did a test. I purposely didn't, just to see how far I could push it. But because my soils are so loamy, they tend to hold a lot of moisture, and so the vines will just chug right along no matter what happens. So that's probably not ideal. You normally want some sand in the soil for drainage, simply because it's easier to add water than to take it out. But you know, here in New England, here in New Hampshire, anyway, we normally never have to add water to anything because it just rains a lot.
Well, you said what you know, all the rain you get up there. Now, all that rain you get up there, is that including the winter snow as part of your precipitation?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's around 36 inches, 40 inches, somewhere around there. Yeah. So we get plenty of water.
Yeah, that's a lot of moisture in the ground. And I was curious about something else too while we were talking. These storms that blow off the coast, you always see these bad storms that are hitting New York and New England and that area up there. Does that affect your vineyard any?
No, it doesn't. Commonly known as northeasters. It's kind of a circular pattern, comes off the water. It generally doesn't affect us because all of our vines are at full dormancy during the winter anyway. So, you know, if we do get an ice storm in, that's actually good for the vines because that coats them with ice and keeps them from desiccating. So, if anything, that's actually a help. You know, summertime storms, they tend to come out of the west. We don't get a lot of the northeasters. If they come out of the west, they tend to be – we do have a few violent thunderstorms. If the cold Canadian air mixes with the warm, humid air coming from the south, then, you know, that could be a problem. So, you know, it's fairly rare, but it could happen, some hail damage or something like that.
Ooh. Well, that's something I guess we face everywhere in the country, though, so –
yeah, I don't think that's unique to us.
No. There's no pictures of the actual Candia vineyard and your tasting room and all that. Is it part of the farmhouse, and or have you built another room for your tasting and everything?
It's an addition onto the house. We do tastings, and it's very humble at my place. We do the tastings right amongst the tanks, so we do it right in the winery. There's no gift shop. There's really nothing there to get overly excited about. So, but a lot of people find it very fascinating because the bottle filler is there, and a few feet away is a labeling machine, and then you're completely surrounded by tanks. So we bring them right into the winery.
What there was no prices anywhere too. What price range are your wines?
Everything ranges. $13 to $19.
Oh, about average.
Yeah. I've got a couple of specialty wines, my dessert wines, and those are on $29.
What dessert wines? Which ones are those?
Well, I have a little bit of a line. I have Ice Storm, which is a white wine, and Pink Ice, which is pink, and I have Black Ice, which is an extremely intense. Not quite black wine, but it's pretty close. Hence the name.
Sounds interesting. Mike, you have any other questions for Bob?
I have, yes, I have a couple. You did say that it was easy to ship wine into. It's one of the top five states to ship wine into the state. What about out-of-state shipping? Are you having any difficulties there? Do you ship out-of-state yourself?
Well, out-of-state, New Hampshire has no control. When you ship wine, it's the receiving state that controls the entire process. So New Hampshire, no matter what state you live in, New Hampshire included, has no bearing. So if I want to ship into Mass or Florida or whatever, I would be under Mass or Florida's rules. So from that sense, we're all in the same boat. You know, whatever state you ship to, that's the state that makes the rules.
So you're not You're not incurring any additional fees for shipping out of state or anything from the New Hampshire government or anything? I mean, just,
right. No, New Hampshire doesn't care either way. If we want to send it out, go ahead. If we don't, we don't.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Also, let's see. Your barrels, are you using oak? If so, what kind of oaks or what kind of barrels are you using?
stainless
steel? Well, we're fairly traditional in the sense that all of my reds are oak aged, and they're all as dry as I can get them. So there's pretty close to, maybe within a half a point or less of residual sugar. I use a combination of French and American oak, and I have them toasted different ways. So there's to get more mocha flavors or more, more vanilla flavors, if you will. And depending on how they're fired, you can kind of bring those essences out of the wood.
Where are you getting your American oak?
I'm sorry,
where are you getting your American oak?
Spire?
No, where are you getting your American oak?
Oh, it's from down south. I couldn't tell you the forest because I don't know, actually. But
East Coast?
It's East Coast. Southern.
Yeah.
I think it's Appalachian, if I remember right.
I mean, from New Hampshire, everything's down south.
Well, that's true. And I use the oak staves. So I essentially use oak barrel staves rather than barrel.
So you're getting Appalachian oak. Oh, that's interesting. Minnesota is doing, I've talked to a lot of wineries, Minnesota is doing a lot of oak, and people are bragging about it. That's why I was curious where you were getting your oak.
Well, you know, years ago it was thought that you could never use an oak from New England, and it turns out that that's not true at all. You just simply can't use red oak. You just have to use white.
Oh.
The red oaks around here have the kind of pitchy and gummy, and that just would impart some pretty sour flavors, but the white oak throughout the country, a lot of guys have been working with it, experimenting. And it actually works, from what I've read, works quite well.
Huh. Well, if you're toasting it, too, that's going to help bring out some of the flavors and stuff. Then the rest of your whites are in stainless steel? You say your red's oak, but your whites, you go stainless steel?
It depends. If it's a high acid wine like a La Crosse or a La Crescent, we do those in stainless. If it's Chardonnay, I personally like a full-bodied oak-aged Chardonnay, so that we would do, aged in oak.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
Very cool.
Good question, Mike. I'd forgotten about that.
Mike,
I was going to ask. Anything else, Mike?
When you mention your contact information and hours, are you open year-round also?
We're open year-round,
John?
But be warned that it can get very cold in the winery. So this is New England, and it's not unusual to have 40 degrees in there, in December and January. So, if our visitors don't mind that, they're welcome. We're open year-round pretty much 7 days a week. But I do advise people to call first because, like I said, I'm a one-man operation, so you never know exactly where I'm going to be. And sometimes we book up really quickly, so it's best to call first.
Well, give us all of your information there, Bob. I mean, everything, your emails, your phone numbers, your address, directions, everything you can think of to pass on to all the listeners in case anybody's up in New England, they want to stop by and say, hey, heard you on All About Wine, want to visit you.
Sure, it's easy. My email is bob@candiavineyards.com. So it's Candia Vineyards, it's all one word, .com. I can be reached 20 hours a day at 603-867-9751. So I'm a pretty busy guy. But one advantage to my winery, if you do visit, you're going to meet with the winemaker. So there won't be a kid at the counter shrugging their shoulders. They'll meet with me, and a lot of people, I think, have a lot of fun with that. So, CandiaVineyards.com, again, there's some, CandiaVineyards.com, there's probably needs some updating, but there's a lot of fun information on there, too, and there's some nice pictures of the vineyard and things. Very easy to get to. We're right off exit 9 on Route 93. It's the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Oh.
So whether you're flying into Manchester at the airport, or if you happen to be in the Boston area and you want to drive north, pretty easy drive, pretty comfortable, great scenery, and fantastic roads. You know, one thing that people don't realize about New Hampshire is we pioneered rock salt used for highways. We have fantastic highways heading out of the south and the west because we want to bring those tourists up. There's a lot to do here in New Hampshire, so it's an easy drive.
Hmm. I noticed you're real close to, what is that, Bear Brook State Park?
Bear Brook State Park, yes.
Bear Brook.
Oh, Bear Brook, okay.
Camping, canoeing, hiking, nice little park.
Oh, well, there. Somebody, you know, wants to spend some time out camping and all that. The winery is not too far from the entrance to the park there. So.
Right. Yeah. We get a lot of campers that come visit us, sure.
Yeah. Good. Well,
very good.
Thank you very, very much. I'm glad we finally got you on the air. It's very interesting. I wish you the best of luck in everything that you do up there. And definitely will be on our itinerary if we ever make it up to that part of the country.
It would be my pleasure. I hope you can visit us. And thank you for having me on. It was really my pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for
coming on the show. Yes, definitely.
All right.
Oh, there they are. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Evening. Bye-bye. It would be evening. All right. Thanks.
Bye now. Oh, very interesting.
Very cool. Yeah, I was at a loss there for a second, but the people were clapping in the background, so that was good.
I know. And so, it confuses us at times. Yeah.
Yeah. He's at 702 High Street. 702 High, like H-I-G-H. Street in Candia, New Hampshire. So northeast of Manchester, and like you said, just south of that Bear Brook Park there. What is it? Bear Brook Spring?
The State Park,
Forest?
Yeah.
State Park.
Bear Brook
go.
State
yeah.
Park, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, that's a big area.
Yeah. And the phone number he gave you is the phone number they have for the winery, so that's his cell phone. So
yeah, okay.
You know, if you call the winery, you're going to get his cell phone. You're going to get a hold of him. So
yep,
that's
definitely.
Cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. A lot of information. So, very good stuff. And let's see, speaking of, should we continue on with what's happening at Florida State's winery this weekend?
Yeah, let's talk about the winery for a little bit here and about our festival this weekend. I'll let you talk. I'm going to drink wine.
Oh, well, hold on just a second. I'll be right back.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida State's winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah, and I was just reading your newsletter. You're going to have Angelo and Penny Cook providing light and classical rock. So that's a perfect, the whole experience out there is just great. You're underneath these great oak trees out there, providing a very large amount of shade. It's unbelievably shady out in the back there. It's incredible. So you got the light music going on, the light rock, classic rock music going on. You also have Peggy is going to be attending the fest with Cinnamon Glazed Nuts and All-American Gourmet Dips. It's going to be great. Let's see, Adolfo, I don't think I've heard of Adolfo yet, but Adolfo hand carves names and messages into silver rings, and he will be doing this on site.
One of our new vendors.
Very cool, very cool. So he'll be doing that on site, and you can also visit his website at www.ringcarving.com. R-I-N-G, carving.com. Tastefully Simple. Jennifer's going to be there with Tastefully Simple. We'll be there as well. Let's see. You're also going to have, I haven't seen the flame rocks yet, oil candles. That's going to be neat.
Those those
made
are
from stones.
So cool. Those are, you need to come out. Once you see those ones, you go, oh my gosh, those are so cool.
sounds very interesting. Yeah, Mary Kay Cosmetics is going to be there, and you're going to have smoothies are going to, you're going to have some smoothies as well. That's interesting. Avon, let's see, Danielle is what is this? Wire wrapped sea glass and shell jewelry. And glass bead jewelry. So that's interesting. Scentsy is going to be there as well with the authentic Wickless Candle Company products that will be there. And let's see, there's going to be quite a bit going on there. What am I doing on there? You've you know, the more I see this, I'm like, okay, let me check out some of this.
Go out and get some more spice, and then, you know.
Absolutely. Can always use the spice, that's for sure.
We need to tell people, too, Father's Day is coming up, so it's a good chance to come out and pick up a few things like the rock candles and stuff like that for Dad. He would love some of those things. So
he's also like a bottle of wine or two.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Yes, without a doubt, that would go very well. Florida State's Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes. That's 4 miles west of Interstate 75. If you're on 75, just go to exit 285 and go west about 4 miles, and you'll see the signs there. It'll be up a little road from there, but to the north. But very easy access and lots of parking. It's going to be a great weekend, and you definitely want to be there this Saturday for Wine Fest, and you know, actually any day of the week is a good day there. So,
and don't worry about the rain. The rain's not supposed to hit us till late in the day, so it's no problem on that.
It's definitely going to be nice. For more information, you want to talk to Ron or anybody else at the winery, very helpful folks over there, give them a call at area code 813-996-2113. 996-2113 is the number to call if you're local, and or 813 area code, you can call them. And I know they'd love to talk to you and hear from you. What else we have?
We got New Jersey next week. Let me throw a plug in for New Jersey. We'll start New Jersey next week. We have 37 wineries, from what I see on the list that I have, 37 wineries in New Jersey, and they are located all over the state of New Jersey. So it should be interesting to find out what's going on there in New Jersey and what they're growing. And we've talked to a couple of others already north of there, and then we've talked to Delaware, which is just south of there. So it should be interesting to see what they're growing there and what they're doing there. So tune in next week for that.
Absolutely. And if you go to the Florida States Winery website at floridastateswines.com, that's floridastateswines.com, be sure to subscribe to their newsletter. It comes out about every 2 weeks or so.
A month, yeah.
Yeah. It's they're not going to flood you with spam and all that kind of stuff. It's a great newsletter. You'll read about their upcoming events. They have there's an intro about the tip jar, information about the tip jar, which changes every month, isn't it?
Yes.
You collect there at the winery for certain causes
different
things like
charities,
this.
Different
charities, and so you announce that little introduction. Then they mention about the show, Wine Fest, the wine class, and there's also a recipe down near the bottom and wine facts, which are always interesting. So subscribe to the newsletter, and you're going to learn a lot, not only about what's happening at the winery, but you'll also pick up a cool recipe and also some wine facts, which is really cool. So definitely want to check that out. Subscribe to the newsletter, and also let them know that you heard about the heard about it from Blog Talk Radio show All About Wine. Love to hear from
and
you.
And the format of the newsletter is thanks to Mike. He helped us set up a new format. So, hey, yay for Mike
you,
on that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Here, let's see. Where is this? Let me do this. Here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you got this.
There we go.
Go on for a little while. Yeah,
that could go. Now that Mike, we were just sitting on newsletter, throwing it together and all that, and giving the information. But Mike says, "Hey, let's make this look pretty," and he did a very good job of it. So kudos.
Well, thank you, thank you, appreciate it. That was great. This is. Let's see, what else do we have? I could just go down the line and read my emails to everybody. No, I don't think so. What the? Then you have
It's always good to bring up every once in a while H.R. 1161. You hit on it before at the beginning of the program a little bit, but it's always good to keep people informed and keep them going on that. Let me ask my engineer something here. What is it, SaveTheGrapes.org? What is it? SaveTheGrapes.org? All right. is it? Okay, well. SaveTheGrapes.org is a website that has a whole bunch of information. Or Free the Grapes. Oh, see, I asked her and she gave me the wrong information. It's Free the Grapes. And I was counting on her to pull me out of that, and then she didn't. Never learn. FreeTheGrapes.org. FreeTheGrapes.org. Great website. You can sign up for the emails and all that. It's in fact, on our on the winery newsletter, we always send out information about that. Also, there is a Facebook page. The winery has a Facebook page, Florida Estates Wines, and there's we always keep people informed of what's going on with that to Save the Grapes. But SaveTheGrapes.org is a great site to keep you up to date on what's going on, especially with H.R. 1161. They, in fact, when you get to the home page of FreeTheGrapes.org. Once you get to www.FreeTheGrapes.org, once you get to their home page, one of the icons at the top is H.R. 1161. So it's right there, just so you can click on it. When you click on that, it has quick links to tell you what it is, how to oppose it, how does it threaten wine shipping, why was it introduced, resources, all sorts of stuff about H.R. 1161. And it also has a place there where you can click on and write a letter to your congressman, but you don't have to write a letter to your congressman. You just have to fill out the information and everything. It takes about 2 minutes. You fill out the information of what state you're in, and it will automatically log in your congressman. You sign your name to it and your address and all that stuff, and they immediately send an email to the congressman. And I did that, and our local congressman replied to me with an email. Mike Belarakis is our local congressman, and he replied to me. He said, I'm not in charge of the committee that's handling that right now. I'm not on the committee, but I will definitely, if it comes to any further votes or anything, I will definitely keep your opinion in mind, which, it's nice of him to respond. So if you want to express displeasure with H.R. 1161 or want to find out more about it or anything else, FreeTheGrapes.org. And then click on the icon heading, and it'll take you right to it and answer all of your questions and just really put it in perspective for you.
Yeah, definitely. While you were talking, I just subscribed to their newsletter. So,
did you?
Yeah. Yeah, put all the information in there. Let's see if our crowd out here, the people who were cheering us, at the start of the show, do you all think we should have H.R. 1161 passed?
Good people.
So that's the general consensus here. And if we could get the other side to talk on this program sometime,
find out why they're behind it. I mean, maybe there's something that they see in that.
Well, I tried, but I don't know. Yeah. Maybe a phone call or something might get them boosted up there. But I tried it the easy way. But let's see what we have.
More than 50,000 letters of opposition have been written through Congress through this website. So,
wow.
Get yours in there. Let's make it a million. I mean, it's just it really is a ridiculous thing they're trying to pass there. So, but sign up for it. It's a good Feed the Grapes. It's a good good sign. We got 60 seconds.
FeedTheGrapes.org. Okay. Let's see. Just a quick thank you to Bob Robert at Candia Vineyards in Candia, New Hampshire. Appreciate it. Where it gets to negative 15, minus 15 degrees during the winter time. Yeah, yeah. anything below 60 here, we put jackets on and everything.
Heavy coats, everything.
Heavy coats, yes. 70s, you know. Start breaking out the winter stuff. But, yeah, thank you very much for discussing New Hampshire with us. And, of course, we had Frank and Chuck last week on the program with New Hampshire as well when we started off New Hampshire. So thank you as well. And I think we mentioned that. And I thank them on Twitter as well. So thank you, Bob, again. And Ron, the
yes.
VP and general manager, and I'm going to have to start addressing you as such.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
Mr.
that.
VP.
But, Mr. VP. Oh, okay. Oh, now I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Got to him already. So thank you, and we're off now.
I think we're off the air. We're on archives again now.
A,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, it just kind of happens. I don't hear the countdown. Maybe you hear the countdown.
I don't hear the countdown. She says 10 seconds, and that's it.
That's wow. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, open daily 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. That is Florida Estates Winery, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. And every day except major holidays. And it's only like, what, two or three? I don't know. It's not. It's incredible how many days y'all are open. Most major credit cards are accepted there. Picnics are welcome. And it's also pet friendly. So something else we haven't said in a while. It's Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly. And just, you know, go out there underneath the giant oak trees, get yourself a bottle of wine, and enjoy. Florida Estates Winery, 25241 State Road 52, Land O'Lakes, Florida, 813-996-2113. Their Florida Estates Winery email is cork@flewn.com, cork@flewn.com. If you would like to email us here at the show, Ron also gets those emails and can answer your questions. We can also set up if you'd like to be a guest. You have questions about a future program or suggestions for a future program, email allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And Ron will respond, and we'll go from there. So
that's right.
Thank you very much. And we had another excellent show this evening. And I'm looking forward to New Jersey next week. I didn't realize that's a lot of wineries for New Jersey.
That's a lot of wineries for New Jersey. You know, you know, and I got to say this. We're not live, but people picked this up. And I apologize to anybody that's in New Jersey that hears this, because it's not meant to be, but it is. I've always heard that New Jersey, if God was going to give the world an enema, he'd stick the tube in New Jersey. So, yeah, really. You know, and I've heard that from more than one person through my life, you know, and so I don't know. I just, I've been to New Jersey, and there's nothing wrong with New Jersey, but that's just something that I've heard a few times.
Address your comments and complaints to All About Wine
101 at gmail.com. No, I just.
Oh, that was
you can
good.
Say that about anywhere, but not really. I've heard that a couple of times about New Jersey. I actually was from a person who lived in New Jersey, so, you know, I mean, so.
Okay, that's a good one. I have to quote you on the next. Well, as soon as we start the next week's show, I'll have that little clip in there.
I'm sure you will. Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Okay.
You know, let me get the disclaimer on that. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, this is going to be good. Well, I can't wait to hear next week. Wow. Okay. So,
but we can say that about any state. So let's you know, I mean, really. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you all for listening to us now. Would be on archives, and apologies to the state of New Jersey. But
my apologies to the state of New Jersey.
we do need a disclaimer now. If we're going to, the preceding comment is not a reflection of, you know.
Of All About Wine, just Ron should have kept his mouth shut.
It's amazing. So we'll see you all next week at 7 p.m. Next Thursday would be June something.
June 16th. 16th,
yes.
Yeah.
June 16th, so we'll see you all at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. June 16th, we'll discuss New Jersey in a very good way. And we'll see you all next time. Thank you all for listening to the archives. And thank you, Ron, as always.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
We will disappear into that. Yes.
Mike, too, thanks. You're picking up on some questions for these people that I forget, and I appreciate that, too. I want to tell you that.
I write little things down, you know, and then like you mentioned the size of the how many acres he had, so I scratched that off. And then I forgot who did the did I do the soil or did
you
I think
did
I
the
asked
soil, yeah. Soil. And I was gonna ask about the soil, and then I forgot, and you know, so
that's good. Scratched that one off. There was something else in there, so I scratched that one off. I was like, oh, okay, well, oak or steel, you know.
Yeah, that's good. I was gonna ask him too, and I forgot all about that. So I need to make I say this every week. I need to make myself up a question list.
Yeah.
And that way I can have it right in front of me and just, but I never do. So.
Definitely want to go. Yeah, like,
yeah.
Okay.
Thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a good night. Thank you. Yep. Or good week, actually, until next week. Okay.
Good week. Yeah. And thank you, Mike.